Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 45. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
And every child fell in love with that. So even though she was a spinster, as they say, she was nevertheless loved by all and enriched everyone around her. Now, when you look at these verses, the Bible says, "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace has been poured into your lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty." Wow. Want to talk about a good affirmation for a lady? Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Do you know sometimes there's secrets you don't want to tell anybody? You don't want to tell a child that they're handsome or that they're pretty because it might go to their head, right? So you be careful about that. But God is being very open here. He's saying you are powerful, you are mighty, you are a warrior. And you are fairer and brighter on the canvas of time. You are awesome. That's what he's saying. You are a mighty one. It actually just says, oh, most mighty. You are a mighty one. I don't know if you ever feel like that. I know women typically have a little bit of a security issue. Read the Song of Solomon and you'll see her constantly, you know, having nightmares. Those things went sideways and I don't know what to do. Because her heart cared so much. That's what makes them be a little bit uncomfortable or unsettled. But for this is God talking. And he says, gird your sword upon your thigh. Now, in the scriptures, you don't see that designation of on your thigh very often, but it has the idea that we could take from these words in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 6. When the Shulamite girl meets the king, she says, "Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me." She said, "My mother's children, they were angry with me. And they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept." She was embarrassed because she worked outside and her skin had darkened so much. Which, in an affluent society, women were more thick. That's why some of those old paintings, really white-faced women, and they powder their faces white. Why? Because to work was to be a mean individual, a low individual. She says, "Don't look upon me. You're the king. I mean, I'm just over here. I'm all tan. I'm sorry." She says, "My brothers were angry with me." So her children. Because evidently her dad was gone. You'll see it through the book. But she actually felt bad because her brothers made her work so hard. Part of the work that she did kept her from maybe unsavory people. And so it was their way of protecting her. In chapter 8 of Song of Solomon, this comes back into play. She has just now said, "My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyard, and so therefore my own vineyard I haven't kept. I'm sorry I don't look as nice as I should." But in chapter 8, she said they were talking among themselves, these brothers. They said, "If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. But if she be a door, a revolving door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. We'll put her in a box." So you see the two places she could have gone. She could have been a wall and said, "No," and stop right there. Or she could be a revolving door for every man that came around. She says in conclusion, "I am a wall. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor." It's a beautiful passage. But what he's saying is that the loose woman can be a destroyer, but a good woman can be a builder and an edification to all. So when he says, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh," I'm trying to show you in a discreet way, he's talking about guarding what is so necessary for your prosperity in this life as a godly woman. And he says, "Gird your sword upon your thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty." That's something you already have. But your sword, you need to protect what is sacred and what is necessarily important in the common good of all of society. Verse 4 says, "And in thy majesty," and the word glory back in verse 3, it literally has the idea of appearance and form and excellence and comeliness and beauty. He says, "with thy beauty," in essence, "and your majesty." He says, and in thy majesty ride prosperously. The word for majesty is an idea of being in splendor and in honor and in magnificence. You just don't understand. You remember as on the playground and the boys started looking and, you know, chasing you around and acting stupid and, you know, and you're like, what are they doing? It's because guys don't know what to do with you. They don't know. They're just like, what? It's a marvel. And it never, I told you, 38 years I've been married. My wife still amazes me. Truth story. And I'm telling you that that is the way God meant it to be. The power, Almighty One, is that you have influence. You have a degree of opportunity that is afforded you because of it. And in verse 4, he says, in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth. Look at this. Of truth and meekness and righteousness. Now, truth and meekness. You've seen some great movements in America. You've heard of the temperate societies and the missionary societies that women would start back in the day. When women didn't work as a rule outside of the home, they would start things. The missionary society was kind of nice because there was missions going out and somebody had to take care of all the details of it and the women would gather and talk and do. But the temperance society was a way women changed the entire society. It was because of the bad times and hard times and there was no welfare and the world was a little hostile and the men would get depressed and discouraged. Their lot was hard and maybe they had a hard time understanding their wife and didn't really know how to communicate and had no tutelage and didn't know what to do. And so they turned to the bottle and they'd get drunk and they'd come home and they'd beat their wives and they'd beat their children. And it was a terrible thing because men would lose a sense of purpose and have despair. So the women got together and said, we can't vote. What can we do? Well, we'll form a temperance society and they'd get the senator's wives involved in it too. And they would talk about how we need to have our pastor speak on alcohol once in a while because it's not right that these men come home and treat us that way. And eventually the wives would get in on that and other preachers would start preaching it. Billy Sunday is well known for that whole movement during the times of Prohibition. And what would happen is that they would turn the head of their husbands. And so a senator's wife would have the idea, hey, I'll tell my husband, we really need to do something about that. And you know, we actually passed a law called Prohibition in this country. No other country ever did that, as far as I know. Maybe Muslim countries for religious oppressive ways. But this was more something where the women rose up and just moved the society with what? Meekness. That's power under control. It's taking all of the wisdom and all of the understanding and utilizing the circumstances afforded them. And it was an impactful thing in our society. Ride prosperously because of truth, meekness, and righteousness. Truth is personified with a feminine. Meekness is personified with a feminine. Righteousness, well, that's the hard thing. And that's personified with a masculine ending. The Bible says, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Now, this is a little secret about the word right hand. You know, Jesus is the right hand of God. You've heard of right hand. But here he's saying to a woman, your right hand shall teach thee terrible things. If you were to look into the etymology of the word, the idea of the right hand was always meant to be understood as the right hand being that which faces the east, which is where the Lord's going to come from. Okay, so it's very interesting. Your right hand will instruct you and it will teach you terrible things or awesome things. If you're in relationship with God, God's going to teach you. He's going to teach you amazing things. He's going to help you to understand there are people you can win. You can have a backyard club because the little kids think you're the best thing in town because, man, their parents, they don't even pay any attention to them. They don't even notice them half the time. They're a burden and a cause of intrusion in their lives. But there you are, the church lady, and you're smiling at them. You can have a backyard club and those kids will come and they'll flock to your house. There have been times where I've seen kids come up to my door and say, can Linda come out and play? Sometimes, but it wasn't quite that way. But they want to see her because she had this little thing she'd do. And the kids would want their buddies to see the way the water would change from red to white and talk about Jesus. So I say to you, you have power and influence, and your right hand will teach you terrible things if you're walking with the Lord and you're allowing Him to do that. Verse 5 says, your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Isn't that interesting? That's pretty powerful. And arrows are a weapon that is a distant weapon. You know, you're not close and, you know, putting in the sword and hacking off limbs and do that kind of battle. You have the ability to aim your arrows at the heart. And what he's saying is that you move the people around you. Men are always deferential to the woman who brings in the room that which is ornate and good and solid, like he said, meekness and truth. And that's what women used to represent because they understood on a wide scale that society depended on them to get this right. So now she's got her arrows and she aims them at the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people shall fall under thee. Now, look what he does in verse 6, because what's now been suggested is the king has been introduced. Okay? It says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest evil. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, I understand this to be a parenthetical insert. It begins at verse 6. It's talking about the king who has enemies. Do you know the world is a clash of kingdoms every single day? And that there is a righteous kingdom, and it's God's kingdom. It's the one we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then on the other side is the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the God of this world. And we understand there's a clash of kingdoms. And what women can do is they can make the enemies fall in the dark kingdom. They can do that if they just understand how powerful they are. And so, I'm telling you today, you are powerful. But what has happened many times is when people have expounded this passage, they think it all has to do with what we call a Christocentric passage, a messianic psalm, if you will. But this is just a quick aside. It's for the king. It's what the king did. It's a song he's singing for the king. And right here, the king is being brought out into the front. And you say, yeah, remember the king? The king's the one who loves righteousness. The king is the creator. The king is the designer. And he says this king has things he loves, but the king has enemies, and the enemies can be thwarted by the females among us, the women who love God. Her arrows will be aimed in proper way. The Bible says, as arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. You and I can, you know, turn those arrows and we can aim them as men. But largely what happens is we delegate that to our wives because we know we might not be as patient as a woman can be because of her love. Men get intruded upon and get impatient. And so we might bite more quickly than the woman will. The woman will work with the child. There was a great story that had made big movements in the internet recently. It was about a daughter and a woman. They were at the school, and the principal was paddling this girl, and she was probably about 7 years old. And boy, the internet blew up, didn't it? If anybody heard about it, it blew up because, oh, that terrible principal and this woman, she's just letting her do it because she doesn't have any strength in the powers that be, her terrible powers. And they whacked this girl about 3 or 4 solid whacks, which, by the way, I'm familiar with back in the day. I was that guy. But she got whacked right there, leaning over the table and boom, boom, boom. And everybody just blew up about how terrible that was. Came out about a week later that this woman who did the spanking was asked to paddle the daughter of this lady. Why? Because every time she tried to bring the girl into some kind of obedience, she didn't know what to do. Her resources were so slim, had no training, didn't know what to do. And what she had done is she had broken a monitor in the school, and it was like she's just out of control. And she says, can you do this? Can you spank her? And so that's why she was there observing, but also asking for assistance. And the reason she needed assistance was because every time the woman wanted to make a move to discipline her child, the child would say, I will call the Department of Child Abuse, whatever the designated letters are. And she actually was threatening her mother, and her mother was crippled. And when you hear the story more, you understand better, don't you? But what happened was they cut the video slim because at the end of it, the mother thanked the principal for having spanked her daughter. The mother delegated that to the principal.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.